This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Parshas Tetzaveh, the opening offering for this evening, is something which I have a question that we've explored, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, and that is the notable omission of the name of Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's Parsha. Since he appears on the scene in Parsha Shemos, there is not a Sedra, apart from Tetzaveh, which doesn't have Moshe Rabbeinu's name. So why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu is not, why is he not mentioned in this Sedra? So in the past, we've given a few answers, but I want to share with you this evening an answer that I came across by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, which I thought is a magnificent answer. Let me just quickly summarize some of the other answers, the more traditional answers, well-known answers that we've said in the past. But the starting point is the Balaturim. The Balaturim asks the question. It says, "Va'ata tetzaveh." If you look at the first box on the page, again, if you're listening online, please email me, j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. No, hizkin Moshe b'zeh ha-seder. Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in this parasha. Masha'im kin b'chol ha-chumish. In contrast to the rest of the chumish, shemishasha nolad Moshe. Since the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was born, back in Parsha Shemos, ein seder shle huskabar. There is no seder where he's not mentioned. V'hatam mishum. What's the reason? Because in Parshas Kisiso, which is next week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu, after the chait of the Egel, he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pleads on behalf of the Jewish people, and says, if you destroy the Jewish people, erase me from your sefer, asher kosavta. And we know, the kilas chacham afilu al tanai bo, the klala of a chacham comes around, even al tanai, even if it was a conditional klala, a conditional curse, which never came to fruition, because after HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't destroy the Jewish people, but yet it still has some form of kiyum, v'niskayim b'zeh, and therefore it finds its fulfillment in this aspect that the Moshe Rabbeinu's name does not appear in Parshas Tetzaveh. He's not erased from the entire Torah, but just Parshas Tetzaveh. And of course the question is, why Parshas Tetzaveh? So the Balaturim continues and says, v'oid, the Zuha Parsha, in the Parsha Medaberes Patachsise Kohuna. This week's Parsha Tetzaveh talks about the adornments of the Kohen, all his big day Kohuna, and all the aspects of the clothes that the Kohen wears. The truth is, the Kohuna should have come from Moshe Rabbeinu, but because he refused to take upon the mantle of leadership of the Jewish people, not from the men of the Nosna La'am. It was taken from him and it was given to Aaron. It would be insensitive to actually mention Moshe Rabbeinu's name in this week's parasha, because this is the parasha that deals with the trappings of Kohuna, the role and responsibility of being a Kohen. And therefore, because Moshe Rabbeinu was meant to be the Kohen Gadol, but he lost it, as the next Rashi in the next box says, Vayicha af Hashem b'Moshe, and it says, Halo Aaron Achicha Halevi, why Halevi? So Rashi explains, brings the Chazal, that Aaron HaKohen was meant to actually be the Levi, and Moshe should have been the Kohen Gadol. But because he was resisted this mantle of leadership, the mission to save Klal Yisrael, therefore he was punished and he became the Levi, and he lost the position of being Kohen Gadol. And to save his embarrassment, as it were, to spare him this pain of being in the parasha, we sort of withdraw him from the parasha. That's the answer of the Balaturim. There are other answers. The Vilna Gaon says because Parsha Tetzaveh always falls around the Zayin Adar. I think that was yesterday. And Zayin Adar is the yotzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, where he sort of was taken away. So therefore, it's an appropriate sedra to take Moshe Rabbeinu away. The Rav Avadya Yosef says very nice, that Mecheni no misifrecho from your sefer. But it can also be read, Misefer Chof, from the 20th Sefer. What is the 20th Sefer? If you calculate, Parshas Tetzaveh is the 20th Parsha since Bereishis. There are 12 Sedras in Bereishis. Shemos is 13. Vo'era bo b'shalach. Yisro mishpatim truma Tetzaveh. So number 20 is Tetzaveh. Mecheni no misefer chof. I've always felt that it's a term of endearment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an expression of the love HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu sinned in Parshas Kisiso. Well, sinned. He said, Mecheni no misifcho. Forget. It's on the contrary. It was the high point of his Mesiris Nefesh. But this phrase, Mecheni no misifcho, which the punishment is to take Moshe Rabbeinu out of the Sedra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was reluctant to do it. He loves Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did he do? He resisted doing it. I'm going to do it Parshas Kisiso. What about next week's Sedra, with the Sedra after Kisis of Vayakel? No, I prefer not. Pekude, Vayikra, Tzav, Shmini, etc. Until we go a full circle and we come round again, you know, from Shmos all the way through up to Pashas Tetzaveh, and the next week is Pashas Kisiso. So you've got to find that Tetzaveh is the last opportunity, as it were, to be Mekayim, this Mechein Lo Misifrecha, and therefore it's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it shows a reluctance on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to erase Moshe Rabbeinu. We also said one year, the gematria, every letter, of course, has a niglan and a nista part. The letter Aleph, you write it out, Aleph Lamed Fei. So Aleph is the niglan, Lamed Fei is the nista. In the name Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe has a nigla part and a nista part. If you look at the sheet, then each letter, Moshe Mem, is the nigla part is the mem, the nista part is actually mem, because you write it mem mem. Shin of Moshe is shin yud nun. So the nista part is yud nun, and the hey is written hey aleph, which is aleph. So the nigla part of Moshe is mem shin hey. But the nista part of Moshe is mem, yud nun, and aleph. The gematria of Mem, Yud Nun Aleph, the Nista part, the hidden part of Moshe's name, is 101, which is the number of Psukim in Tetzaveh. So you see that's an allusion to the fact that he's behind the scenes. Good, those were all the answers that we have given on previous occasions. But let me just share with you an additional new answer that I came across in the writings of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. He says something really, really interesting. We know that there is a concept of, it's known as the separation of church and state, which means that there's a division of leadership. And you have the sort of the political leadership of any given nation, and then you have the religious leadership of a nation. And there's a lot of discussion. Do you combine them? Do you separate them? In days gone by, it was always combined. You know, think about Mitzrayim. Paro was the leader, the political leader of Egypt, but he was also the deity. He was also the religious leader of Egypt. What were the revolutionary division of leadership actually was introduced by Klal Yisrael. Because we know there are two types of leaders. There is the Novi and there is the Kohen. The Novi and the Kohen, the division of leadership between the prophet and priest, is a Jewish concept. They're two very different roles. I'll give you examples of how they differ. Think about it. We know this, but it's actually very interesting when you sort of articulate it. Here are some of the examples that Rabbi Sacks gives. Kohuna is hereditary. A person's father is a Kohen, his grandfather is a Kohen, so that makes him a Kohen. His son's a Kohen. The Nevuah is not. Moshe Rabbeinu's own children weren't Nevi'im. Another difference between Kohuna and Nevuah is the Kohuna has special robes. This week's Parsha's Tetzaveh. All the special begotten, the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol wears. A Novi has no particular uniform. Another difference is that Kohuna is exclusively male. Only male Kohanim can serve in the Beis HaMikdash, but not so Nevuah. Yeah, the Gemara in Megillah Yudalad Medarav says, Sheva Nevias Maninu, Sara, Miriam, Devaira, Chana, Avigail, Chulda, Esther. So it's possible to have a female prophetess. Further difference, Kohuna is routine. There is a precise annual timetable of what actually goes on in the Beis HaMikdash. The Navi didn't know his mission until he actually received it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another difference, the Kohen is holy, the Kiddushta, we spoke about in the Halacha Shin. It's the Kohen is holy, and he is sort of, Kodosh means set aside. He is set aside from the people in the state of Kudusha V'Tahara. There are certain things he can't eat, he's not allowed to be Metame with Mesim. But the Navi would live amongst the people, he spoke their language, and he could come from any social class. Another difference, the Kohen gave rulings, and the Novi gave warnings. Another difference, the Kohuna was not personal. In other words, if a Kohen couldn't officiate, then a substitute would found. If a Kohen on a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he was Tomei, or came across a Mace Mitzvah, and therefore became Tomei, or he has to become Tomei, so then you'll find a substitute. But the Novi, it's very personal. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Pei Tes Amud Aleph, Ein Shnei Novi'im Misnabim B'Signein Echot, i.e., each Novi had a distinctive voice, that Yeshaya wasn't Yirmiah, and Amos wasn't Micho. So each one was a very distinctive individual, and it wasn't just a matter of finding a replacement. So you see that the role of Kohen and Novi is very, very different. And that is the origins of the revolutionary division of leadership between the prophet and the priest. Interestingly, throughout Jewish history, certainly during Churban Bayis Sheni, the kahuna was liable to corruption. And at such times, the Navi, as it were, became the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the conscience of society, reminding the people of their spiritual and moral vocation and calling on them to do tshuva. So you see this very important division between the Kohen and the Navi. Says Rabbi Sacks, perhaps, therefore, that's what the Torah is emphasizing. Because this week's Parsha is all about the Kohen, all the begodim, the role of the Kohen, and therefore to emphasize the division between of leadership between the Navi and the Kohen, we omit Moshe Rabbeinu's name and we pull him out, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the Navi. He is the Navi, the Melech, the leader of the Jewish people. So we withdraw him, we omit his name from this Parsha to emphasize the division of religious leadership in Klal Yisrael. Very, very interesting idea, Rabbi Sacks. Okay, let's press on. Look, if you look at the next box, please. This is an idea of the Iyune Chaim. That's the beloved Rabbi Shmuel Zatzal. He was, of course, I've got a special fondness for Rabbi Shmuel. He was the Rav of the Beis Medrash where I grew up in the Shtiebel in Gostrops all the years, and he was a close family friend. He had a chavrusa with my late father every week, and really is a very much missed and beloved Rav. Moreover, he quotes an idea in this week's parasha from Rabbi David Cooper, another famous legendary figure in the Jewish world, and certainly in the Anglo-Jewish world, who was Nifta some years ago. And again, I have a special tendency towards that because my machatenista is a daughter of the late Rabbi Cooper, and indeed our grandchild is named after him. Our little David is named after Rabbi Cooper. What an honor, what a privilege. So let's have a look at what these two great people say. Says the Yunei Chaim in paragraph 2. He asks a fabulous question. But Sivush HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Rabbeinu Lasos Big Day Kahuna to make the Big Day Kahuna this week, etc., La'aron Levonov, Ksiv Shehoyu Lekovod V'Letifaris. It says that they should be Lekovod V'Letifaris. That's the expression, in honor and splendor and beauty. On the Moshe, Nitzdavu L'daber Kochach Melev, when Moshe Rabbeinu then passed on this instruction to the artisans, to the Chach Melev, La'asosum L'kach L'chanuli, Lohis Ki HaProtim Shekovod V'Letifaris. Moshe Rabbeinu said, these clothes should be made lekadsho, to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lechahanuli, to be a priest for me. And he doesn't mention kovod and tifaris. So the question is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu that the Big Day Kahuna should be lechavod and tifaris, for honor and for splendor, for beauty, but Moshe Rabbeinu omitted this and he doesn't pass on that specific instruction. Rather, he emphasized the kedusha of the Big Day Kahuna. Why? So the Rabbi Shmuel quotes Rabbi Cooper. Let's look at the next paragraph, the middle paragraph. For Shamati Me'arav David Cooper Shlita Zatzal, of course, at the time he heard it, Rabbi Cooper, when he wrote this, Rabbi Cooper was still alive. Shahirav Bekila Kadesha Tzofayim Henzen, when he was the Rav in North Henzen, that's Pob in London, here in London. Yodua, this is the answer, this is the question. She'ein Tzorech Loma La'odom V'la'azkira Mashru Pashidle. The answer is, you don't have to tell a person when you're instructing them to do something that which is obvious to them. You have to emphasize that which is not known to them. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was a holy man. His mind, his whole world was wrapped up in Kedusha. Therefore, there was no need for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to emphasize the Kedusha, the holiness required, the kavonas, the kedusha needed for the Big Day Kahuna. Halapshitahu, it's pashut. Makmashram, why do you need to tell him this? Omnom, however, next paragraph. Inyan yoifi hagashmi, lo ichbas deklal ish kodesh kemoshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was not particular about the aesthetic look of these clothes. He wasn't worried about the physical beauty of the clothes. V'lochein omen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, for sure, the main point of these clothes are the holiness, the kedusha of them. We still need a physical beauty to them. the covers of the Tiferes. And therefore, the only point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to emphasize to Moshe was that they should be the covers of the Tiferes. They should be beautiful and splendor. But when it came to the next stage, when Moshe Rabbeinu had to pass on that instruction to the artisans, the people who made it, to the tailors, because their perspective was a physical one and their natural tendency was to make a work of beauty. And generally speaking, they're not making matters of holiness. You don't have to tell an expert tailor to make an art, a piece of beauty. The point of emphasis surely is going to have to be on the Kedusha aspect of them. Amazing. So in other words, the answer to our question is this. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu instruct Moshe Rabbeinu they should be, the big day Kedusha should be Lechob to the Tiferes? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Moshe Rabbeinu, his whole life, his whole essence was holiness. So he didn't need to emphasize the Kedusha aspect of the Big Day Kuna, but he had to emphasize that they should be Lechavod of the Tiferes, they should be physically, aesthetically beautiful. But when Moshe Rabbeinu then passed that message on to the Chachmei Lev, he knew that they were going to make clothes of beauty, because that was their whole focus always. He needed to emphasize the point that may have been missed, that they should be matters of Kedusha, their kavanas when they make the clothes, when they stitch them, when they make them, should be very lofty and holy. Very beautiful piece. Okay, let's press on. Paragraph number 3. The next item, it refers to the choshen, one of the begodim of the Kohen Gadol, one of the 8 clothing items of clothing that he would wear. The pasuk says in Perek Chafei, V'nosato el choshen ha-mishpat es ha-urim ves ha-tumim. He would wear on the choshen mishpat the urim v'tumim, and that would be on the heart of Aaron when he came into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the Choshen, famous breastplate, where he would have the names of the Shvatim, the 12 stones on them, and the name of the Shvatim inscribed on them. And behind that, there'd be the Urim V'Tumim. What is the Urim V'Tumim? So Rashi explains, Huksav Shem HaMefoirish. It's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem HaMefoirish. It would sort of be inserted behind the folds of the Choshen, Sha'al Yodah Hu Meir Devarov Matamim Es Devarov. Urim V'Tumim means, Urim, it would illuminate, and Tumim is an expression of Matamim Es Devarov, it would perfect and complete the words. So that is what the Kohen Gadol wore. He wore this Urim V'Tumim that would illuminate and answer all types of questions of Klal Yisrael. Now, we all know that, we're very familiar with that, we're perhaps very familiar with it, from the story of Chana and Shmuel, that Chana famously, the Haftarah of Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of Shmuel, she goes to the Beis HaMikdash and she is desperate for a child and she pours out her heart. We learn the halachas of Tefillah from Chana, and Eli sees her and he thinks that she is drunk, and all of a sudden the Urim Tumim lights up, it flashes up, and he misreads it. As the Gemara says, that it says the letters flash up and he reads it Shikaira. So he thinks that she is drunk, where in fact, the letters are read in the wrong order, because the message either is kashera, that she is a kosher, holy person, or kasara, that she is barren like Sarah. That is why she is davening. So you see that the Urim V'Tumim would be used as a source of communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The question that many Mefarshim discuss is, doesn't it violate the principle of Torah lo bashamayim? We know there is a principle that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, a bas kol could come out and could announce a certain halacha, but it doesn't have any standing in halacha. Torah lav b'shamayim. And perhaps the most famous application of that is the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes on the base. That's the famous case of Tanur Shelachnai. There was a famous machlokus between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachomim whether a certain oven was tomei or tahor. But let's take a look at the third box in paragraph 3, paragraph 3a. This is a short extract from that Gemara. Yotze Baskol Va'omro. A Baskol came out in support of Rebbe Eliezer, the Das Yochid, and said, Malochem etzel Rebbe Eliezer, Shehalocha Kamosu B'chol Mokum. Why are you fighting with him? Why are you arguing with him the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer b'chol makom. So therefore, the halacha should be like him. It says the Gemara, Omad Rabbi Yeshua al Raglov, Rabbi Yeshua stood up, he was one of the Baalei Din, he was one of the protagonists, and said, V'omar, lo bashamayim, Torah is not in heaven, and we've got no right to listen to you. Ashkechei Reb Nosson Elyon, indeed, the halacha is like the Chachomim, and not like Rabbi Eliezer, despite the fact that the Baskol came out, and all these miraculous things happened to support the view of Rabbi Eliezer. So interestingly, the Gemara's sort of postscript is, Ashkechei Reb Nosson Elyon, who Reb Nosson met Elyon Novi, Omelei Mai Ovid Kutchabrichu Baishaita. When the Rabbonin refused to listen to all the amazing miraculous, the walls bending and the rivers flowing and the carob trees jumping and the Baskol coming out, all in support of Abeliezer, and they refused to listen to it. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying in Shemayim at that time? It says the Gemara, Omelei, Eliyahu HaNavi said back to Rabbi Nosson, Kochayich v'omar nitzchuni bonai nitzchuni bonai. As it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was smiling and said, my children have been victorious over me, my children have been victorious over me. So you see, that is one of the many examples of Torah Lav B'Shamayim. So the question is, the Urim V'Tumim in this week's Sedra, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, which was used to sort of, you know, offer sort of a baskol, a heavenly psak from Shemayim, how doesn't it violate the principle of Torah Lev B'Shamayim? Great question. So I once had an answer from Rabbi Pinchas Roberts, and he said something which is really very, very interesting. Let's take a look at a Gemara in Yuma. Yuma Daf Ayin Hei Omid Aleph. This is talking about the Mon. The Mon is described, Vahu Kazera God Lavon, which is normally translated to mean that it's Lavon, it's white, and Zera God is like a coriander seed. That's how, or some type of seed. But the Gemara in Yuma says, God is an expression of Magid, it tells. So says the Gemara in Yuma, She Magid Lohem Yisrael, I ben Tisha Larishin, I ben Shiva L'Achra. It would actually inform the Jewish people of a question of paternity. What does that mean? Imagine, Rahman al-Islam, that a husband and wife, the husband dies, and or they get divorced, and the wife mustn't remarry, we know, Mishon Havchana, for 3 months, which means that there might be questions about the paternity of a child. So say, for example, the husband dies, and she gets married a month or two later, so it's not clear if she gives birth 9 months after the first husband dies, which is, let's say, 7 months after she marries again. Well, and then she has a child, I don't know if this child is the child of the first husband or the second husband. So says the Gemara, that the Gemara in Yuma, Dafayin Heomad Aleph, that the Mon could verify who the father is. How so? Because when the Mon would fall for each family, there would be enough Mon, there would be sort of a package, the original deliveroo of Mon, sort of tailor-made for each person, labeled and addressed to every person in the house. So if there were five people in the house, including this child, and it fell to that house, then the portion of Mon would fall to the family. We'd know exactly who the child is. He belongs to either the first family or the second family. It would be able to solve all these paternity questions. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Tanya Rabbi Yosi Omer, Kashem Shanovi Hoyim Magid L'Mishra Masha Shebachurim Shebastokin, Sadakin, it would be able to tell, it would clear out all the confusion, the nooks and crannies, Kach Hamon Magid L'Mishra, he gives another example of this. If two people came to Moshe Rabbeinu as part of a din Torah, and ze oimer avdi gonavta, one, let's say Reuven and Shimon. Reuven says to Shimon, hey, you stole my evet. Ze oimer ato mecharti, no, you sold it to me. Omer lohem, Moshe leboke mishpat. Well, let's just wait till the morning and we'll see where the mon falls. Because the mon fell for each household, and if the eved belonged to the first family, then enough mon would fall for all the members of that family, including his eved. But if it didn't, that, you know, there were, I know, eight people in that family plus the eved. If eight pieces fell, then you knew the eved belonged to the other person. If nine pieces fell, then it fell to the first person. So you see then the mon was able to solve all of these questions. So again, the question is, doesn't it say Torah lo bashamayim? We don't allow heaven, if you like, to paskan shailas. So Rabbi Roberts explained the answer is this. What the Urim V'Tumim cannot do is paskan shailas, because Torah lo b'shamayim. When the Mon came to resolve confusion, it wasn't paskaning shailas, it wasn't resolving a halachic dispute, it was just informing, it was just relaying reality. that this child belongs to family A and not family B, that this Eved belongs to this family, not that family. And that's what the Urim V'Tumim did. It just reveals reality. It just reveals facts. It doesn't paskan halacha. So it can say kasher or kasara, but that's not paskaning. And that's really the right, and that's also borne out in the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin, Daf Mem Heum Dalef, says, it says, Vayishal David Bashem Lemer Ha'ilech, in case of the Pelishtim Ha'ilech, should I go and battle against the Pelishtim? So the Gemara's got a discussion. What exactly was David HaMelech asking? If it's saying whether it's permitted or whether it's not allowed to fight, you've got the Beis Din of Shmuel Haramosi. Why are you asking the Urim V'Tumim? Says Rashi, because the Urim V'Tumim cannot be used for questions of Issa V'Heta. And the Gemara therefore has to explain, he was asking more generally about would he be successful, not be successful, but it wasn't a halachic shayla. And that, I think, fits in with the Kedushas HaLevi, which we once mentioned. A very beautiful Kedushas HaLevi. We know when the Gemara has a question, it sometimes leaves it unresolved. You know, and the expression of the Gemara when it leaves it unresolved is teku, which literally means let it stand. In other words, you know, question mark, we don't know. Teku, let it stand, unresolved. But we also know that teku stands for Tishbi Yetaretz Kushus V'Iboyetz. Tishbi is a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi. He will come along and resolve Yetaretz Kushus V'Iboyetz. If you take a look at the Likutim in Kedushas Levi, the bottom box on the page, Teku Rosh HaTevas Tishbi Yetaretz Kushus V'Iboyetz. Now, ask the Kedushas Levi, the Levi of Yitzchak of Bedichev, a great question. When is Teku going to come along? When are these questions going to be answered? After Moshiach comes. Why is it Eliyahu HaNavi who is going to be the one person who's going to answer all the questions? Let Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the one who received the Torah. He gave us the Torah. So why isn't it Moshe who comes along and resolves the questions? The wisest of all men. Why Eliyahu? Says the Kedushas Levi. Who is the one person who can answer the halacha properly? Someone who is alive. If a person lived in yesteryear, he doesn't necessarily understand the full needs and the nature of each generation. And therefore, you need someone of the living who is able to understand and can be sort of appreciative of the needs of each generation. Sometimes, you know, in the world of chinuch, you're in a classroom and you look at the kids and you're thinking, I don't understand this generation. They're sort of alien to me. They're a different world. They talk a different language. That's very difficult because on one hand, you don't necessarily sort of have to be their friends and you don't have to rub shoulders with them and sort of lower your standards, as it were, sort of to be one of them. But on the other hand, you've got to sort of be, there's got to be a relationship, there's got to be a communication, there's got to be some sort of interaction and meeting of minds. And therefore, says the Kedushas Levi, you need someone who's b'chayim. But someone who is not alive and has been dead for many generations, he won't fully be able to understand the needs of each generation. Says the Kedushas Levi in the penultimate line, Eliyahu HaNavi is alive and well. He's quoting sources for that. Below Tom Tamisa never tasted death. For who Tomid Bezeh HaOlam, he's always been in this world. Below Kach Hu Yifshet HaKushas HaBoyes. Therefore, he uniquely is able to answer all the questions. Ki Hu Yodeh Be'ez Amid Tzor HaOlam Nisnai, because he understands the needs of every generation. I once heard also that that's why it says Teiku Tishbi Yitaretz Kushas HaBoyes. Why? Eliyahu HaNavi is more commonly known as Eliyahu HaNavi, not Eliyahu HaTishbi. Motzei Shabbos in Zmiris, we sing Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, but he's more commonly known as Eliyahu HaNavi. Why do we refer to him here as Tishbi? So it's from the Loshon of Toshav. Toshav means that he resided with you. He's there in this world. And therefore, he is not only understands the needs of every generation, but his Piskei Halacha doesn't violate the rule of Torah Lo B'Shamayim. Amazing. because anybody else it would violate Torah Nebashamayim. So therefore, in answer to our question, how can the Urim Tumim illuminate and paskin shiners? The answer is it's not paskining shiners. It does not paskin Issa Vehetta like the Gemara says, an Erev in there. There's a Rashash on this Gemara, but not for now. But either way, the role of the Urim Tumim, and indeed the Mon, was to illuminate and to inform facts, but not to actually paskin shiners. It's just telling you a Matzias, a reality. So that answers the question of how come Urim V'Tumim doesn't violate the principle of the Torah Levashmayim. So there we have tonight three interesting ideas. Number one, the omission of Moshe Rabbeinu's name. Four or five answers we've mentioned in previous years, but that's new answer of Rabbi Sachs, but it's separate, it shows that it highlights the revolutionary division of leadership of the Novi and the Kohen, two very different roles. And therefore, in this week's parasha, which is focusing on the role of the Kohen, we sort of withdraw Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the Novi, to emphasize the division of religious leadership, the separation, as it were, the habit of church and state. Then you've got to cover the Tzifaris, that very beautiful idea Rabbi Shmuel quoted from Rabbi Cooper, why Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't pass on the instruction of Lechavdol Tzifaris, but rather emphasizes that they should be holy, the clothes, they should be la sosam lekadcho lechahanoli, because you emphasize the person that which they don't realize. Moshe Rabbeinu knew, of course, that they have to be Kodesh, but the aesthetic nature of them, that how they're beautiful and pleasing to the eye, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to remind Moshe. And Moshe, in turn, when he spoke to the Kohanim, he spoke to the artisans who made the Chachmei Lev, who made the Begodim, he knew that they're going to make them which are lechavdol tzifaris. And therefore, he only emphasized the Kedusha, Lekadcho, Lechahanoli. And then the last idea, the Urim V'Tumim, surely these Urim V'Tumim, it violates the principle of Torah Levashamayim. How can this sort of be a psak, as it were, like a bus call coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Doesn't that violate Torah Levashamayim? The answer is, says Rabbi Roberts, that the Urim V'Tumim just informs a reality. It just tells you facts. It's not paskening shilas. And as a result of that, you can establish certain realities. In the same way that the Mon could ascertain who the part, you know, the paternity of a certain child, etc., etc. And that's why Leon Novi is going to be the one to answer the questions. Not just that he understands the needs of every generation, because he lives in every generation, but because of his very existence is not a problem of Torah Levashamayim here, and that's why it's Teiku, Tishbi Ataritz Ibois Vikoshes, and not Eliyahu Novi. He's known to us in that respect of Tishbi in this context. Thank you for listening. I wish you a good evening and a very good Shabbos.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.